giver, he is an increaser, and he will take care of you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, not just stuff out of it. Not just stuff out of it. The kingdom. So the Father wants you to have the realm, the reign, and the rule. A lot of the church misses that. You have the realm. You have the glory realm. You have the heavenly realm. You have the reign. You have dominion. Reign and rule is dominion. God's dependent on you to use the kingdom for you to say some things. You can depend on him. He's the one that is the source. But he has to have you saying something, declaring something, praying something in the earth. Now, there's people right now that'll argue with that and say, well, if God's going to do it, we don't have to say anything about it. Well, obviously, they haven't read the Bible. Because you're going to have to say something. And that's another subject, but I need to put that in there. So fear not, little flock. That word little there, when you translate that out, it actually says little, little. And which it's telling us, the reason why they said little, little, it's comparing us to the heathen world. Okay, there's a lot going on in the world, but in God's flock, we don't have to fear. Amen. Amen. Even though we're few, it's his good pleasure. He's not going, oh, I guess I'll give it to you. No, he's like, okay, yes, I want to do it. Amen. And so it's his good pleasure. So if he'll give you the whole kingdom, now here's just a real easy thought to take with you. If he's going to give you the kingdom, why not bread? Why not a tank of gas? Why not the job assignment you're supposed to be in? If he's going to give you the whole kingdom, wouldn't he give you a couch and a bed? Wouldn't he give you an HEB in your town? Wouldn't he do that? Amen. I've lived without HEB. And lived in Chicago. They had a place called Dominic's and Jewel Osco. Yeah, so yeah, everybody's going, yeah. So, yeah, and they're like convenience stores almost with very high prices. So we love our HEB. But I tell you, why not? Why wouldn't God do all these things? See, omnipotence itself has undertaken your cause. If you'll let him, he wants to do it. It is his good pleasure. It's given to you, not out of debt, but out of grace. Jesus said this, he said, even so, Father, it seemed good unto thee. It seemed good, and even so, Father, it seemed good unto thee. So you're not going to add 1 inch to your height by worrying. Amen. Don't bother to worry. Don't bother to decide how you're going to make it. Just start tuning in. Take that mental effort and tune in and find out which way to go instead of worrying about it. Your part is to seek and give. His part is to give and multiply. That's what he does, to increase, to do exceeding above what you can ask or think. So you're looking, I've seen this happen over and over and over, that a situation will come up, even an attack. And in that attack, we end up doing, it's like the Jewish people. Every time the Jewish people are attacked, they do something good. They build something better. They do it on purpose. It's in them to do that. I see that all the time with Father. We had this little thing come up, and then we'll end up having something better because of it. It's very, very wonderful and interesting how he does that. I'm so grateful for that. So it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, it's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, it said. Didn't say Jesus. Jesus won it all for you. And he's all included in this thing. But it's Father's good pleasure. The word Father actually is number one in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance. Abi. It's the number one word in there. The Greek word for father is pater. And it means that he is the progenitor. He is the originator of the family. He started this thing. He's the nourisher. He's the protector. And he's the upholder. He will uphold you. It's just interesting to me that we don't see the Father in the Bible until we see the Son on the earth. Ever notice that? Until we see that he's God, he's Elohim, he's El Shaddai, he's Jehovah Jireh, he's all these things. But he becomes Father when Jesus appears on the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are our Father. Our Father in heaven, may thy name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. So we have this Father. He is in heaven. And it's his desire that we have the kingdom. We got that, right? It's his desire that we have the kingdom even while we're here on earth. And when I was growing up, it was kind of more or less thrown out there that we'd trudge along and then heaven would be wonderful. But I found out in my 30s when I met a certain group of people that you could have some heaven on earth. Amen. That every day didn't have to be awful. Amen. Every day wasn't just a manic Monday and a terrible Tuesday but there were some good days. You could have some good days. You could live with heaven on earth. And so we decided to go ahead and do that. So, and you can too. So, he's in heaven, and heaven is in you. It's his desire that we have heaven. And so please don't forget that. Well, you know, I just need trials and tribulations so I can learn something. Of course, y'all knew I had to go there today. That's not how you're going to learn anything. You're going to learn from the Word of God. Now, God will work with you. And a lot of people run to God when they are in trouble. But don't stay in trouble all the time. Not every day is supposed to be a bad day. Amen. You need to take that diabolical doctrine and throw it in the trash. The truth is God is good. He'll work with you in trouble, but he didn't cause it. Amen. So heaven is a place of accomplishment. It's a place of love. It's a place of service. Isn't that? People aren't sitting on clouds floating around, dropping grapes in their mouth. It's a beautiful, beautiful countryside. Beautiful, beautiful buildings. The city is amazing. I know what you're thinking. Well, you act like you've been there. Well, you can find it over in Revelation. I have had some taste of heaven, actually, in the spirit realm. And it is a good place. Thank you, Jesus, for that. God is good. And I know people have been to heaven. And I know what they said about it. Jesse, Gary, oh gosh, I could name up Dean. Could name off a lot of people that have had experience there. But it's a good place. It's a good place to be. So it's the place where Father resides. So let's talk about Father then. What kind of Father do we have? Let's break it down. Let's just unpack Father, if you will. Let's look, see what he's like. Let's go to James 1:13. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and when you read it, you'll know why it's one of my favorites. I'm sure most of you have read this. James 1, we'll start with verse 13. James 1 is all good. Lots of opinions about James. I'm not going to get into that, but I'm going to tell you, I really like this. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Now that should settle it right there. Yeah. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, so far what we've seen is we see a God who doesn't want us to fear. A God who says it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And now we see a God who cannot be tempted and neither does he tempt. Amen. He does not dishonor or deny himself. And he's not using evil as a tool. Right. Satan is self-employed. Now, so here we see the giver of good gifts, it said. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. That's interesting. Two gifts right there. That's because good gift and perfect gift are two different words in the Greek. The first is dosis or dosis, and it means the act of giving. The second word here is dorema, and that means the gift itself. So the word good here is the word agathos, you know that word, and it means beneficial. So every beneficial act of giving and every perfect teleos, which means complete, full-grown, mature gift, comes from the Father of lights. Every beneficial act of giving, every beneficial act of giving, and every complete gift comes from the Father. Brethren, do not get off course. Every beneficial act of giving, every complete gift comes from the Father, not temptation to sin. So get your thoughts right about Father. It says then that he's the Father of lights. That's the word phos. And what it means here is that Father illuminates his children. He illuminates his children. What does that mean, he illuminates his children? Well, the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. But we, as God's children, we're illuminated. We're the sons of light. And we can exercise our spiritual senses. So he gave us, when I'm saying that Father illuminated us, he gave us the capacity to understand. He gave us the capacity to get revelation. He gave us the capacity to receive all of these good and perfect gifts. He gave us the capacity. So see, they're not out of your reach. Come on.
Amen.
They're not out of your reach. They're there for you. You have these beneficial things. So we can have that. It's actually the eye. It's the faith organ of the eye. With the eye of faith, we can see, and with the understanding, we perceive, and then we know, yes, I can have that. And so, and also, you have a capacity to receive. It's built in. The enemy wants to shut that off on you, but you do have it. That's something to think about, church. Something to think about right there. So we have this good Father doing all these things. So it said, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He is always the same in all seasons of the year, in all ages. There's no change in his character, in his mode of being, his purposes, his plans. What he was millions of ages before the worlds were made, he still is now. What he is now, he will be countless millions of ages in the future. He's not going to change. He's absolutely the same. So we can be sure that whatever changes there may be in human affairs, whatever reverses we undergo, whatever oceans we cross, whatever mountains we climb, ain't no mountain high enough. Oh, well, anyway. Whatever's going through in your life, God can reach you. God can reach you. There's nothing too hard. We just sang the song. I should have sang that one instead of Diana Ross, but it just came up. Glory to God. So there's no wall he can't kick down. Well, you don't know. I'm just having this problem with my child. God can get through.
Yes.
Yeah, he can. He can get through. Just put your faith on it. Believe God. Amen. He can get through. There's always a victory one way or another. Amen. So then it says the word variableness here. I really like this. This is the only place it occurs in the New Testament. And It means change, alteration, and would properly be applied to the changes observed in astronomy. Okay? So, the words shadow of turning, then they're referred to as a different shade or a shadow that's cast by the sun from an object in various revolutions. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know how in the afternoon there's a different shade on you than there is in the morning. And so it says his doesn't change. He's just like as if the sun stood still at the meridian at noonday and there was no shadow. That's how God is. He doesn't have that. He's not going to change. He's not going to get shady on you. I'll just say that. He's going to be right there with the light, illuminating you, giving you the capacity to do what you need to do. I can do that. Our Father will never tempt you with evil or be tempted himself. He will always be giving for your benefit, and he will give good gifts that are complete. He blessed you with the spiritual capacity to receive those gifts. He never changes. He'll always be a good father, and he is a father of love. Yes, Lord, I heard you. Thank you, Lord. Behold what manner of love the Father has already bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. I have to stop and say something the Lord's prompting me about. Church, sometimes we lose at the game of life, but it's not God's fault. It's us. Sometimes our faith gets off course. Sometimes we don't believe. Sometimes there's so many strongholds that have been built in people's minds that they don't know how to use this capacity. And they don't have enough word in them to beat the clock. You understand that? And so they leave earth early. But understand this. The place they're going, they go there and grow up and get in full service and live and love and have a wonderful time. And I believe God has a way to fix it so that they don't miss you. Now I'm going to say something to you. There's a way he can help you not miss them all the time. You may miss them, you may cry some, but it doesn't have to be every moment of the day. Okay? Also, there are people that you see in your life that are adrift. Listen, church, no word, no faith. It's that simple. No faith, no anointing, no anointing, no burdens removed, no yokes destroyed. So you don't have to wonder about people. If they're not churched, if they're not receiving the preached word, their faith will not be strong. The thing to do in those situations is pray. Pray, pray. Pray for them and disagree with the enemy. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Is that okay, Lord? Okay, good. So, what manner of love the Father hath already bestowed upon us already, he said, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, that's 1 John 3:1. Behold, I want to just kind of unpack that. Behold what manner of love, what love in kind, what kind is it? And in degree, what degree is it? Well, in kind, it is the most tender, the most ennobling, in the fact that he adopted us. This is very important unto his family. And in permitting us to address him as our father. And then in degree, it's the most exalted, since there's no higher love that can be shown than adopting a poor orphan. Nothing is higher in the eyes of God than adopting an orphan. Nothing. The Jewish people count it as very, very important. The Bible teaches us that it's very important. Even God could not bestow upon us a more valuable token of affection that we should be adopted into the family and be permitted to call him Father, Papa. We're the sons of God. We're the sons of the God of the universe, the good God who's given us that kingdom with pleasure, who gives us beneficially these gifts that we've been talking about. And when he gives you something, it's complete, and he never changes, and he's never evil, and he never quits, and he loved you so much that he made you his child. And he protects and he corrects. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So discipline shapes character. And we can't remain spiritual babies and handle what he wants to give us. So the correction will bring forth that direction, and then you're able to, that capacity will build. Gabriel does not have the same capacity as Art. He has to be disciplined. He has to receive correction to come in and grow up like his dad. Addie looks just like her mother. But she doesn't have the same capacity that Danny has yet, but she will. Now, she has the same Holy Spirit. Yep. The same Holy Spirit, but she's learning. Now, let me say this to you. It's not just about age, though, because your child could outrun you in being mature in the kingdom. Yeah, yeah, sure could. Interesting, isn't it? But I'm talking about physically here. That capacity, there, you have to grow. It's just an example. So we have to receive this love and receive the word so we can build capacity to receive more. It's an ongoing thing. And we need to receive the correction. So what I'm saying to you today is it's time for you to move home to Father. Make him your home. Make him your home. He doesn't need to be some distant God that maybe if you get the right lottery number, you'll win a moment with him. He's not like that. He's there for you. He's like, so those of you who are old enough, remember Father Knows Best? He's the real good dad, you know? Yeah. That's barely good enough to say how Father is, but it's like that. Well, I didn't have a good daddy, but you do now. But you do now. But you do now. And God will send you fathering through ministry. Amen.
That's so good.
The first thing we need to realize about this is you can't cast out like a demon an orphan heart. Can't cast it out. It must be displaced. Come on. It's a heart that feels like it doesn't have a home and a father or a mother's embrace. That's what an orphan feels like. It struggles with fears and trusting and rejection and all those things. And we've all tasted that. It struggles with intimacy. We're actually, though, created by perfect love himself. We can receive love. We can give love away. But as children, we become insecure with this unconditional love. And so insecurities and fears try to fill up your heart. But we know what to do about that. You don't have to live in rejection all your life. The way out of rejection is to put him in the center. Teach your children to put God in the center. When self is in the center, that's when they're troubled. There's trouble. That's what the devil, that's what the world. When it's all about me, well, what about me? What about me? Toby Keith wrote you a song about that. It's all about me or whatever. But you move self out of the center and you put Christ in the center, then Father has that connection with you. See that? We used to study, Sissy and I went to a school in Colorado to learn how to help people with rejection years ago. I spent some time there and learned. And one of the big things I learned is that rejection has all these different fingers on it. And, The easiest way out of that is Romans 6. And that is to reckon your flesh dead to yourself, to not self dead, but your flesh dead to sin, dead to you being in the center. And if you'll do that, with words, remember we learned about the word reckon. It ain't like going, I reckon I'll be over there. It means I'm counting this and saying this. Jesus is the center of my life. If you'll keep putting him back there during your thought life and during your reaction life and during your action life, you're going to be delivered. This orphan mentality is going to begin to be thrown out of you, and you're going to receive fatherly love. Amen. You'll be able to understand and receive. So it has to be displaced. So the Bible says there's no fear in love, but what? Who knows it? Perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, right? So the verse that we read tells us that you can introduce perfect love then. If you introduce perfect love, it'll push fear out. If you introduce it. So perfectly, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It means that you receive this perfect love. The one that I just finished telling you about, that wants to give you the kingdom, that isn't tracking you down to try to hurt you, that is the one that's trying to give you beneficial gifts. This one, if you'll receive his love, that other stuff will move out of the way. Amen. Are y'all still here? We're almost done. Here's the thing. You have to make a choice. You can either open your heart to love and submit to love, or you can choose to continue in walls of self-protection and reject the love. But self-protection doesn't work very well. Perfect love will cast out the fear. We have to let perfect love come in and do the work. So what I want to do, as we're going to start closing down here, I want to give you some basic guidelines to help you just come home and feel at home in Father. Some things that'll just help you, just some basic guidelines. And as you experience this perfect love, I believe the Holy Spirit will take you through these things that will actually help you. So the first thing is you're going to have to forgive your parents. Let's try that over here. The first thing is you're going to have to forgive your parents. You're going to have to forgive your parents. You are going to have to forgive your parents. And you all are going to have to forgive your parents, because they weren't perfect and neither are you. So forgive mama, forgive daddy. Well, you don't know what my daddy did. Well, forgive him. You have the power to do that. You're forgiving them because they've misrepresented Father to you. They weren't perfect, but you're not either, and you've done some misrepresenting as well. Second thing is the one we all love. Yeah, you might need to ask your parents to forgive you for the way you've disappointed them. Ah. Well, come on, Dee, I need your well. She's quiet today. I need to see you after school. You've been too quiet. She's usually helping me preach, her and Margaret. Margaret's quiet too. Did y'all get together last night and party or something? Next, focus your life on being a son or a daughter. See yourself. Call him Papa. Call him Abba. Call him Dad. Relate to him like that. Walk with him in the spirit of the day. The cool of the day means the spirit of the day. Walk with him and talk with him. Don't just be, God, this is Roxy, and I'm need to talk to you today. Here's my list, and I hope you'll take it. And maybe, do you have anything? That's not what we're talking about. Hey, Lord, what are we doing today? What are we saying today, Papa? What do you have on your heart today, Papa? Papa, what do you think about this? Papa, can you help me with this? Papa, you know, okay, here comes the song. Y'all ready? Papa, can you hear me? How many of y'all know what I was just singing? Let me see. Okay. Oh, the cultural people knew it. I'm singing a song from Yentl. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's a Barbra Streisand movie. So I know my voice. See, my voice was so close to hers, I thought you would recognize it. Probably not. Okay. So, praise the Lord. But focus your life on being a son or a daughter. It's the attitude of this that helps bring your self-redemption. You'll start feeling redeemed when you start feeling close. Jesus really focused on being a son, did he? Mm-hmm. He did. He really focused on, he did what the Father was doing his entire life. So become a spiritual son, also to your spiritual mother or father. Become a spiritual son. Find that place in your life where you feel like there's someone that is dad or mom to you in the spirit realm. We have a particular person in our life who is our daddy in the Lord. And y'all, everybody in here knows who it is. And so if dad says so, we're there. If dad said it, we know we need to do it. Because he has taught us. So we look at him as our dad. And Miss Billy Brim, she's our mama in the Lord. Her and Miss Gloria, they're our mamas in the Lord. And then we've taken on Nancy. She's younger than me, but she'll give you good mama whippings. Don't get tired of hearing that, church. It simply means that you're willing to take correction. That's what we're talking about. So, next one, forgive spiritual and governmental authorities. Oh. We live in a dark world. People make mistakes. The God of this world has blinded people. Amen. But forgive. Let go of it. Well, I don't know if I can ever forget the way they treated the president. No, yes, you can. And that's how we're going to flip things back around. Because we're in forgiveness and we're speaking what we want and not complaining with everyone else. This is just life, church. It's just life. Amen. We still go by the Bible. We have no right to throw stones. We've been guilty of just as much. I've seen people in the church just, and I'm sure I've done this a time or two, maybe not on this particular subject, but I've seen people in the church be just as lofty and elite as they possibly could. I'm sure we've all been guilty of it, but it doesn't make it right. Well, we're the best. Well, we're the one with it all. Well, no, we're not. But we're doing good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll finish up here. So you may have to seek an authority's forgiveness. Ouch. But listen, people get cuckoo about this kind of stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Well, I just know that I need to forgive you because I used to just hate you. Welcome to the ministry. Yeah. There's no need for that. You don't need to tell someone if you didn't like them before. We're talking about if something y'all clipped somewhere and you know there's not the right healing there. Otherwise, keep stuff to yourself. It's not good to tell all your business. I actually had a lady come up to me one time and say, you know, I really like you, but I have to tell you, I could not stand you. And I'm sitting there and I said, well, thank you for that information. Deb says, we forgive her, Lord. Long time ago. I've loved her and hugged her plenty of times since then. Kicked her out of the church, but no, I'm just kidding. No, she didn't go to church here. It was somewhere I was ministering. People just say funny things to you, know. Yeah, so, you know, you have some episodes, things that go on when you're in the ministry. There's a lot of times before I got up to do my ministry that people take shots at me. before they introduced me. And it's just interesting that you are going, don't take up an offense for me. It's long gone. But I tell you, you might not want to be doing that to the anointed ones. I'm still standing. Praise the Lord. Okay, so, and so are you. Now, cast down those ungodly beliefs and hidden lies of orphan thinking. If you think like you don't have a home, then you're going to live like you don't have a home. You have to blatantly fight those thoughts. I am loved. I have a home. I have a papa. He loves me. I have an elder brother who I'm a joint heir with. We're a family. I have a church family that cares about me, and we're just doing fine. And then begin sowing into your inheritance. Sons recognize the power of sowing in their inheritance. And we all do that. You do that. Enter into your inheritance. How do we do that? Well, first we discover God's rest. You got to get in the rest if you're going to have this. Stop struggling and enjoy some life. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. You're never going to know if you keep that going. Get into the rest. Sit down. Be quiet. What'd your mother used to say? Breathe through your nose. Sit down and breathe through your nose. It's true. Sit down and breathe through your nose so that you can hear what God is saying. Some of you are taking a deep breath right now. I can actually breathe through my nose. Hey, it works. When you walk like a son, in sonship, favor happens.
Oh, that's
good. Honor happens. Promotion happens. You become a team player. You see prosperity. You and your material resources start coming to you. I knew you were going to go there. Okay. Church, as long as you build your identity on orphan thinking, you're going to be like that angry brother out in the field. The one with the prodigal son. He was in worse shape than the prodigal son. Well, you never do anything for me. And he had given him everything. The whole place was his. It's interesting, isn't it? I think I was older when they preached the second half of that to me. It was just all about the prodigal son. But that angry brother in the field, He was the orphan, you're right. He didn't understand his place. You need to understand your place. God loves you like a father and will take care of you like a father. He'll stand in front of you. He'll say, you got something to say to this girl? You better talk to me first. And then he'll correct me. That's how he is. He is a covenant father. Now, I'm going to close and just tell you this. I have two things to tell you, and we're real early. You will get your reservation for Father's Day right early. But I'm going to tell you two things first. Number one, I went to John and Rachel's when they adopted the children. I was at the with the judge. And the judge said something so very important. He said, now, as you adopt these children, they become yours. There is no difference. They now are your blood kin. They now are. Now, the Jewish people really celebrate this. If you were adopted into a Jewish family, you went right up to firstborn. You went right up to firstborn. You can't be separated out of the inheritance. You cannot be separated out of the inheritance. You are blood kin if you adopted them. Maybe not so for people who are fostered, but people that are adopted have a home, they have a father, they have a mother, and they own everything they own. You signed it away like you got in covenant when you married your wife. And that's how it works in the Bible. It's not prenup. It's supposed to be family. Well, that's old school. Well, That's Bible. Well, I didn't want to hear that part. Well, being a son, you're all wrapped up in these principles of honor, in submission, in humbling yourself and being faithful. And you just have this wholehearted agenda to help build, to help get things done. You don't have some ulterior motive. You're just helping the family. You're just moving forward. Now, as we close, I want to say something to you that the Lord just dropped in my heart. We're going to be like Jesus, aren't we? But I have to say this. I had no plans. Wasn't even thinking about this, but I hear the Lord saying this. It is important for you to have a spiritual mother or father. I'm not saying because I'm trying to be your, I'm not, it may be as far from me, I don't know. But somewhere in your life, maybe somebody you knew way before you came here, I don't know. But it is important to have an authority in your life that you can look to. You may not be able to even spend the day with them. It may just be someone who has fed so much into your life that you just recognize them as father or mother. And by the way, I'll say this to you. As far as the female pastors or prophetesses or leaders or something like that, they have the apostles, they have the capability from the Spirit of God to deliver things. Yes, we want you to have male figures in your life, but they have the capability of feeding you what you need. Miss Billy Brim has many sons, and she's still giving them what they need. Now, Brother Copeland is my spiritual father, and will be till the day we all go to heaven. But I don't call him on the phone. I have talked to him a couple of times. But he told me one day I was his family.
That's right.
And y'all saw it on TV.
Family girl.
But he enriched my life. And he's the one I knew I could take correction from.
Yeah.
He may not be that for you. I have a strong feeling it's the same kind of line there. And then, of course, I have Pastor John, who had done the same thing for me. But there's got to be someone that you look to, that you see them as. So pray about that. And this is not this, okay? So I might be your spiritual mother. Hey, it's not that. None of us are going to go around, Lord help us, true. Well, they did that with the apostles and the prophets. People showed up at this church telling me that they would like to be our apostle. That's not how it works. It works like Paul and Timothy. This whole fatherhood thing, this whole motherhood thing works like Paul and Timothy. You join yourself to someone in relationship. And as you join yourself in relationship, it begins to work. You care about that person. You care about, you watch how they move. You watch what they do. It's like a mentor type thing. And you watch what they say and it becomes valuable to you. You'll know who it is. So you don't need to go around shopping up and down the aisles. But you do need to pray about it. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this. And there are people listening right now. You need to be in the right church. The right one. You need to be in the right, the one where you're called. And it should be, and you go, oh, she's a pastor. She's going to say this. No, I'm telling you from God because he told me to say this. Live in the place where you're in the right church. And God will give you your assignment. It's a whole higher level than what most churches are talking about. But it's true. And I'm not talking about shepherding movement where people try to tell you what kind of glass to drink out of. Stupid stuff. Try to rule your life. God's your God. But I'm talking about people you look to that can enhance your life. You may not even ever ask them a question, but you ask God the question and you hear them answering it. You see what I'm saying? People that you look to that you know will actually help you. And there'll be several people in your life, but there'll be that one. There'll be that one that you can follow. Amen. Do you receive that? If that's not clear to you, ask the Lord about it. You'll begin to understand it. I think about Elijah and Elisha, and I think about how Elijah walked by Elisha, and he just threw his mantle on him. And he said, well, I need to go home. And he said, what do I have to do with you? And he just walks off. But here comes Elisha running. And he knew. See, Elisha had to choose Elijah. Elijah just couldn't say, well, I am your... But he did throw the mantle at him. And there's been a number of occasions where I've had people come up and I've said, what be on me, be on thee. And I knew God was throwing my ministry on them. Some of them took it. Some of them never ever thought another thing about it. But if you don't seek, you won't know. If you don't learn, you won't know. Some people, this church is just, I need to show up to just hear what they're saying. But church is so much more than that. Church is a family under a father. Church is a family with a father. And church is a place where we can all stand strong for one another, where we can all be for one another's ministries. It, especially in this day, is most valuable. And knowing God as Father is most valuable. Let's stand up. So we're glad you were with us today. Praise God. We just want to tell you that Father God loves you and we love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.